gifts of prophecy to speak the words of God with power. And I hope this is going on today, this morning. There's the underlying theme, in case we hadn't put two and two together, that God's calling people to serve him in different ways, with different things to do, and with different titles. But what does a calling from God actually look like? What does it feel like? Will we know when God is calling us? Well, I say, you will know when God is calling you to do something. And let us learn this morning from our reading more about God's calling, because God's the same forever, always. He doesn't change. And a calling always has the same kind of features. Of course, it's coming from God. And our reading today is from the Old Testament, and it's a calling of Moses. Just set the scene a bit before I ask Aaron to come up. So this is a calling from God about 1200 or 1400 BC. Where does this calling take place? Well, it's a rough mountain slope east of Egypt. We don't know exactly where it is, but there's some upland pasture for sheep, goats. And who is the call coming to? It's coming to Moses. As far as we know, he's a man then in his 60s. He's a shepherd looking after the family business. And Moses had had an eventful and dramatic past life. Perhaps we know, we remember, he's the son of a slave woman in Egypt. He grew up in a country which had an active genocidal policy: kill all male infants on birth. To rescue him, his mother put him in a floating ark and floated him on the River Nile, and he was picked up in the provision of God by a daughter of Pharaoh, and he was raised up and educated as an Egyptian prince. But then disaster. He realized who his people were and where he came from. He saw the suffering of his people. He saw an Egyptian abusing a fellow Hebrew and killed the Egyptian, and went on the run for 40 years. He ran far to the east. He was taken in by a desert tribe, the Midianites, in the desert. He married the daughter of the person who took him in, raised up a family, and was having a quiet life as a shepherd when the Lord called him. Aaron, shall we have our reading?
Morning. Reading from page 59 in the Bible, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he had led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw the bush was on fire, but Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was terrified to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. So why am I preaching this text this morning? What does it have to do with us? Well, I want to tell you right now, and that's what the sermon's going to be about. God reigns over all times and in all places, and he has been seeking servants to work alongside him, to do his will. The reading reminds us of the greatness of God, appearing to Moses as a great shining light, the bush lit up but not burned up. The reading also reminds us that God sees their desperate suffering in this world and is grieved at his heart. He sees people who don't know him as slaves in bondage to sin. And we also see in this reading that God wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. Moses was called by name. Moses. Moses. Called for what? Called for heavenly service. Like us. May we each ask him afresh today what he has for us to do. In that last closing verse, God says to Moses, I will be with you. God is always with his people. Emmanuel, God with us. That's one of the titles we think about at Christmas. It's one of the titles of Almighty God. Jesus says the same thing. When he was with his disciples, he said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If God's calling us, he's going to be with you. And Moses ended up writing these words in the book of Deuteronomy, it's in chapter 31, about the Lord being with us. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. May we hear the words of God this morning, be encouraged by his Spirit. So we come back to this aging shepherd, Moses, at the beginning of the reading. He's leading his flock towards some good grazing. What do we have in common? Well, we're fellow human beings made in the image and likeness of God, just like Moses. We also have this in common with Moses. We have past lives, and some of us have had dramatic past lives. I summarized some of the features of Moses' past life: slavery, escape from death as an infant, wealth, riches, education, and then murder and being on the run. Moses was married, he had a wife, children. Whatever the past circumstances, God calls into our lives. He wants to make a new start and do new things in people's lives. Never mind who you are, never mind what your backstory is, God knows who you are already. The big question is, always for people, do we know who he is? And are we willing to ask him what he has for us to do? See, part of the message is today, God wants people to know him. He hasn't spoken in secret. And the Bible says over and over again the different ways that God is trying to reach out to us human beings here on earth. He shows his glory in creation. He shows himself in our hearts and consciences. In these last times, God has revealed himself to us through Jesus and through his written word and by his Holy Spirit. But that day, in the desert, the word of God, Jesus, appeared directly to Moses as the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, one of the titles of Jesus. From a distance, it looked like flames of fire. But God got Moses' attention, and Moses said to himself, we hear it, I'll turn aside, I'll go over and see this great sight. Why doesn't the bush burn up? Do we dare get closer to God? We have the light of the Spirit of God in us. How willing are we to leave what we're doing and see what God has for us to do? We know the verse, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Let's do it. And God called Moses by name, Moses. Moses. Do we understand how wonderful it is that God knows each of us by name? Our names are engraved on the palm of his hand. Can we say like Moses, here I am? It is frightening to get closer to Almighty God. And quite correctly, the word of God says, God sets limits on how close we can get to him. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. Correct reverence for God is also the right thing and the right attitude to have. It's a serious matter to be a human being. Each one of us are facing the wages of sin. We'll all see death. And we'll all be called to give an account of ourselves to God. But God wants everybody, everywhere, to repent, to turn to him, to turn away from sin. And what was this task that God was calling Moses to do? It was a rescue mission. It was a rescue mission to people who were slaves. God sees the suffering of slaves. God sees the suffering of slaves to sin. God wants to rescue people. Here it was from the hands of the Egyptians, real slaves in real bondage that you could see. But of course, he wants to rescue people now who are equally real slaves, but slaves to sin, slaves to fear, slaves to all the fears of life. There won't be enough. I'm not going to make it. And it's a reminder that Satan comes as the slave driver, only coming to rob, people of happiness, to rob people of their eternal destiny, to kill and to destroy. God really cares about suffering, but he wants people alongside him, reaching out on that rescue mission. We need to be clear inside us how much God cares about suffering. I'll read verse 7 again from the reading in an older translation. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. I hope we recognize his voice as our Savior, God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. God hears the cries of his people. That's verse 9. Let's go back to Moses' example in our reading. Just recap. Moses has seen a wonderful light. God has shown Moses his holiness and the seriousness of approaching to him. But God ends with declaring his compassion. He's seen the suffering of his people and wants to rescue them. And the commissioning comes to Moses. So now, says the Lord, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So, we hearts can sink at this stage. This is one of the great challenges of a relationship with God. Supposing he has something for us to do. A very good friend of mine at a Christian meeting piped up one day, I want to say it again, piped up like this, I'm very willing to help in principle as long as I don't have to do anything. But doesn't that say a lot? The Bible is very honest about people's reactions to a call from God. And there's a full range of people's reactions in the Bible. I love the accuracy and the ruthless truthfulness of the Bible. So, this example of humble acceptance, like the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. He had a terrifying encounter with Almighty God in his full glory in the temple. The train of Almighty God filled the temple. And God says to Isaiah there, quaking in fear, who will go for us? And Isaiah just says, here am I, send me. Brilliant example, total acceptance. And the Bible tells us the other extreme, total panic. Jonah just ran. He took a ship to the opposite direction to where God wanted him to go to prophesy salvation to the city of Nineveh. And Moses is somewhere in between, to be truthful. Perhaps he's like us. He engages in an argy-bargy with God. He comes up with a list of excuses why he shouldn't go to Pharaoh. And he begins, verse 11, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And what does God say? I will be with you. That should be enough answer for any of us hesitating before Almighty God. God says, I will be with you. But Moses carried on with more excuses. Actually, there's no time today. They go on for two more chapters, the excuses of Moses, chapters 3 and 4. There's a comforting theme, though, in all this. The verses that describe Moses' life actually describe an ongoing conversation with God. It was all right with Almighty God to keep talking to Moses. He could listen to these excuses. He could listen to Moses' difficulties. He could listen to Moses' despair. It was all right. And we too should carry on a conversation with Almighty God as he puts different tasks and situations in front of us. For we have a great high priest, another title for our Saviour God, Jesus, a high priest who is sympathetic to our weaknesses, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. So I asked earlier today, do we have anything in common with Moses? I hope you're beginning to see we do have things in common with Moses. I will just list, coming to a close, Moses' excuses in summary in his conversations with God. Began with, "Who am I to bring your people out of Egypt?" And the Lord answers, "I will be with you and bring you back to this mountain." And then Moses says, "Well, who are you?" Though God has just told him, "What's your name? What name shall I tell people?" Excuse number three, "The people won't believe me. They won't believe me. They'll say the Lord hasn't appeared to me." Fourth excuse, "I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I can't find the right words." And then Moses, excuse number five, how accurate is the Bible? "Lord, please send somebody else. The Lord has chosen us." I hope that we do see we've got things in common with Moses, not just excuses, but that Almighty God wants a relationship with us and loves us. And he's got work for us to do, that work of love, the gospel message. He is with us. He will give us everything we need because he says, "I will be with you." Let's close with the words of Moses to the people from Deuteronomy 31. "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he that goes with you, he will not fail you nor forsake you." Amen. Amen.